Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. I hope everyone's doing well. As for me, I'm on a little mission. There's a rodent of some kind up in my attic that has chewed, this creature has chewed through, of course, the bottles of plastic. He has chewed through 6 bottles of maple syrup and 4 bottles of grape jelly, all plastic. I don't like things that are plastic, but that's how the syrup comes and that's how the grape jelly comes. So he's ruined. He's ruined 6 bottles of syrup, 4 bottles of jelly. But he is in for a big surprise because the wolf tracker has come out of retirement and this critter's days are numbered. I have so many booby traps and so many, listen, I'm expecting that before this show is over, I got them. Again, I'm an expert hunter, so I'll have a update for Sister Marie's show tomorrow. But I have declared war on this critter. Now, I don't know if it's a family. I don't know if it's a family of squirrels that are up in the... All I know is they've ruined all this stuff, and I'm out to get them. So think of me as Elmer Fudd. It's squirrel season or rodent season, whatever it is, and I got my big Elmer Fudd hat on, and I got my big Elmer Fudd rifle, and it's hunting season. So without any further ado, let me bring on Sister AJ and see how she's doing. Sister AJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Mr. Fudd?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm going rabbit hunting. It's rabbit season.
No. With Fudd, it's wabbit.
That's right. So, I went in there this morning, and there was a big old mess, syrup dripping everywhere and jelly everywhere. And my wife says, oh, you got that look in your eyes. I said, that's right. The wolf tracker is back. And this time I'm hunting critters, not false teachers. So
right.
I got all the traps. I spent the whole morning cleaning up and setting up the trap.
Okay, so they made more work for you, so I know you on a mission.
That's it. I'm on a mission. So we've been having some great shows here, starting out with Creflo Dollar and his crazy tithing repentance program, which he didn't repent at all. Then we went to Ivy Hilliard, and now we're on this other young pastor who's got crazy faith.
yeah.
So talk to us about this show today.
Right. Well, as you've stated, we've moved from one thief to a new thief named Michael Todd. Now, this thief, I have to say, he seems to be a lot nicer and more affable than, say, Creflo. And some people, some things he does, he might actually even think he's doing a good thing to help his community. We started on him last week, and he, you know, was giving thousands of dollars to help the survivors that were left from the Tulsa massacres there in Tulsa, where he pastors. You know, he sent money for somebody, some other church in Denver that to help get their building. So he seems to be a nice guy, but a thief he is. So that's
absolutely
why he is on the radar of this show. So what do you
think,
sir?
Well, a thief is right because he's playing Santa Claus with other people's money, right?
Man, that's
think
right.
Think about this. Think about how many poor people he has in his church in Tulsa. He's got a lot of poor people, no doubt. And he decides to call out of the blue a particular pastor who's starting a church, and he gives him $500,000. Now, he's according to him now, and we're going on Michael Todd's word, he doesn't know the guy, doesn't know anything about the church. It's a startup. He wants to help them. Now, how do you invest, Sister AJ? How do you invest, or how does anyone invest in something that you know nothing about? How do you do that?
They're going to do
right.
some research to know that if this is a good investment or not. They're not going to just throw it away, their money away.
Not $500,000.
No.
Right? I mean, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what this. Of course. Again, I'm almost sure.
We know it was staged.
Right. Right. But see, I'm going on his stupid line in
right.
that he doesn't know these people. He just heard of them, you know, through the grapevine.
Right.
He even tells the pastor, I don't know anything about you. This money comes with no strings attached. Now, you and I know none of that comes with no strings attached.
Right.
None of it.
If nothing else, he'll be able to sell his books and materials to that congregation.
Right. But it's a lie. It's all a lie. That's one. So you take $500,000 out of your congregation and you give it to some other guy who has started a pyramid scam just like you, because that's what these churches are.
Right.
Right? The people on top are the ones who get to decide. The husband and the wife are the ones who get to decide what's what.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works in these churches. Now, we're talking about independent churches now, right? I'm not talking about
right.
your denominational churches. I'm talking about the independent churches. Because in the denominational church, it's the denomination who sits on top of the pyramid.
Right.
There's different pyramid structures, but they're all crooks, which is the bottom line. Right?
Right.
Okay. So here's this guy. He takes $500,000 outside of his community and gives it to some group in Denver. Okay. Then he wants to do reparations because he's supposed
yeah.
to be a representative of the Lord. Okay, so he gives five people $200,000. Five. Which totals $1 million. Now,
mm-hmm.
I watched the video. The five people are all old.
Yes.
They may live a year or two more. Who knows?
Right.
So
who gets that
$200,000?
It was 100 years ago that happened. They were
right.
most likely children when it happened, which explains why they're still alive.
Right.
So,
right.
But I think they may have grant. I don't know if it would go to their heirs, whatever's left, if they pass away.
But that's a waste of
money.
I don't
know.
That's a waste of money. because you know, I love my grandmother, right? I mean, I had a wonderful, wonderful grandmother. But not all of my grandmother's grandchildren were nice kids. And they would come around grandma's house looking for $20 here, $10 there, because, you know, grandma, you know, I'm hungry, grandma, this or that. And they were using it for drugs or for weed or whatever. So you don't give
mm-hmm.
grandma $200,000 and not know, you know, who's taking care of grandma.
Right.
Right? And I'm sure that those people are getting some kind of Social Security. So now you put them in a bracket now
where they
things
can't
may,
get it.
There's things they can't get now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if they go into a nursing home, guess who gets the $200,000 in a short period of time?
The nursing home.
The nursing home. So this guy is a dum-dum. See, you got to, you know, before you do things like that, and this is why he's such a moron, because he's a one-man show trying to show that he's got crazy faith and is simply retarded faith. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And
I mean,
looks
that's
a lot what, like, the Lord would say, you know, when you do things to be seen of men, you have your reward.
Right, but again, look, I mean, why did Paula White go through all the schools in Orlando, all the public schools in Orlando, telling the principal that she wanted to paint the teacher's cafeteria? Why did she, Paula, take church money and church members to go over there and redo cafeterias to public schools for teachers? What a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Let the state of Florida do that. What are you doing taking the Lord's money? And of course, what did she get? She got a plaque that year for being one of the 50 most influential people in Orlando, Florida. So it wasn't her money, and it wasn't her labor. She sent people over there to do the work.
Yep, that's
it. But she
it.
Got the plaque. She got the plaque. A big waste of money.
If a check came with that plaque, you know she pocketed that.
Absolutely, which it didn't. The check didn't come with
right.
any of the, you know, the plaque didn't come with any check. But, you know, that's how stupid this woman is. And her church members are stupid. Because how many elderly people in her church maybe need a kitchen redone? Right?
We don't know
there's a single mother that maybe needs a new bunk bed for her kids. And here you are painting teachers' cafeterias. Teachers who can care less about God.
Yep,
and
that's
what
right.
These idiotic pastors, they do that. Why? Because they are worldly and they want worldly acclaim. I wouldn't be shocked if this guy runs for something in that city. I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, Carlton Pearson tried it. Think he
sure.
ran for mayor or something there in Tulsa, city council, something like that. He didn't win, but he ran, yeah. So it wouldn't shock
me. In Queens, New York, you had Congressman Floyd Flake. He was Dr. Floyd Flake, a graduate from Boston University, was a congressman. In fact, George Bush 43 tapped him to be the commissioner of education, which Floyd Flake turned down because he's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But George Bush 43 tapped him for that, and he said no. But Floyd Flake was making money as a politician and making money as the AME pastor of that big church over there on Farmers Boulevard. That's a huge
mm-hmm.
church. That church goes for blocks.
Wow.
And they got all kinds of buildings. They got all kinds of buildings.
Well, remember just recently the Bling Bling Bishop wanted to be president of Brooklyn. The one that faked the robbery.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
So politics is another hustle for a lot of them.
Absolutely. Politics and the chicks on the side and the little boys on the side, they got all kinds of hustles.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When some bishop wants to start a school for boys, you better open up your eyes real big.
Right. Or some special program for boys, like what's that thing that Eddie had, Longfellow?
That's right.
Or something like that?
Absolutely. That's his own personal meat market.
Mm-hmm.
Where they mentor boys and put boys under their wing.
Uh-huh.
See, those are... So, yeah. Better be careful. So, yeah. No, this Michael Todd is a dum-dum. And he's all smiles. He's all Kool-Aid smile. You know?
Oh, yeah. Very affable, very personable. Seems like a really nice guy. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, the devil isn't – we might be dumb sometimes, but the devil is not. So not all of his wolves rule with an iron hand. They don't all – they're not all tyrants. They don't all have the blood dripping from their fangs as far as you can see. Some of them look harmless.
Right. So – but listen, when he talks, you can just say, "Boy, this guy is stupid," and you know he's obviously he's a draw because I used to scratch my head a lot of times, and this guy once told me, he says, "Michael, In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, that's true.
I said, okay, I get it now. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So, you know, it is what it is. And this is the land of a lot of dumb people. I'm sorry to say it. You know,
yes.
I'm just sorry to say it.
Willfully dumb, because even in the scriptures, we saw where the people of Israel would tell the prophets to prophesy smooth things to us.
Right.
They wanted to be lied to.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. People say, oh, we prayed to God for a pastor. And then when God gives them a pastor, they say, pastor, don't work so hard. Pastor, no. Just work one day a week. Work Sunday. See?
A lot of them don't even teach Bible study anymore. Some
right.
of them get other people to do it.
Right. And the reason why the people don't want real churches and they only want Sunday church is because they don't want to be bothered. They want smooth
yeah.
church. See, they want
yes.
easygoing church. That's what they want. They want once a week church.
Yep.
But we love the Lord. We love the Lord. No, you don't. No, you don't love the Lord. If you go 10 minutes over the hour, you having connections.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, yeah, Michael Todd is very affable, Kool-Aid smile,
mm-hmm.
a hipster, has all the designer clothes. And but like, you know, even if you're affable, you do stupid things like put clams in your hands.
All the...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Rubbing it on that guy's face. Oh.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just don't see how he thought that was going to go over well. But I guess it's the arrogance of these guys. Because no matter how nice he seems, you can tell he's a bit arrogant and prideful.
Listen, they are so deluded about what they can do that things have to rebuke them back into reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're so delusional within their
yeah.
own frame. Within their own circle, within their own little world, they're so delusional that
right.
when the outside world sees this, wow, you're in a cult. To let a man do that to you lets me know you have been lobotomized. Your brain has been removed.
Mm-hmm. And we don't even know if he ever apologized to the man himself, even though he put out a quote-unquote apology video, which really wasn't much of an apology at all, and he's joking and making light of it and everything. But I'm like, he did that and humiliated that man in public, so he needs to apologize to him in public.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I haven't seen anything else on it.
No, and of course, like all cult leaders, it's not my fault. I was just trying to teach a passion. You know, it was just my passion for teaching.
Right, I really want y'all to get this, you know,
right,
and
right,
I
right.
went a little overboard that time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little overboard? What he did is what I call in the top three of the most degrading things you could do to someone.
Sure. Absolutely. I've only seen something a little worse than, well, which was that bishop on those guys. That was, you know.
Wayne T. Jackson.
There you go. And then Wayne
yeah.
T. Jackson says, I do this every year. Every group I ordain, what? You do this every year?
And I've never seen anybody else do that when they're ordaining bishops. So that's just
not even the Catholic
weirdo.
Right.
Weirdo.
Not
thing.
Even the Catholic. Not even the Catholic
no.
Church that does that to people in real life.
When I saw a picture of some Catholics being ordained or something, lying prostrate before, but nobody was mounting them.
No,
they were just
absolutely
they were just
not
prostrated before the bishop, whoever it was that was ordaining them. But they weren't.
Absolutely.
Nobody was climbing on top of them.
Mm-mm. No, no, no. That would be unacceptable. Unacceptable. So, yeah,
but,
crazy.
But yes, so we got to looking at Michael Todd last week and just some of his antics and his rise to power, which I say is spiritual lineages connected to Carlton Pearson directly through Carlton Pearson's best friend, Gary McIntosh, who was pastor of that church. And then he groomed Michael Todd to take over and then eventually handed it over to him around 2015 or so. And then it seems like Michael has just blown up in the last few years. So we got started on – go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say that that bishop has the charisma of a slug. So I would never expect the church to grow under him. But under this young man, he's able to draw that whole young crowd. And,
right, and,
so
and Gary was – Carlton was like the one with all the charm and charisma and talent and all that stuff. Gary was pretty much just his running buddy.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's kind of like he recognized – maybe he recognized something in Michael that he saw in a young Carlton when they first became friends. Who knows? Mm.
Right. Right. Well, he can sit back now as bishop and collect the tithes from all the churches
you know
he's got
he
under him. Sure.
He's still like the oversight pastor of this church,
right.
So you know he's getting a check.
Absolutely. Listen, if Michael is giving that clown over there in Denver a half a million, what do you think the bishop's getting?
Oh, man. Probably at
the
least a few hundred thousand more.
Come on. This is, please. This is, you know. But all that's, listen, all that's going to come crashing down because it all does. It all does. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I remember a couple of years ago, Joseph Prince was the, oh, my goodness, Joseph, grace, grace, oh, grace. Oh, we never heard grace before until Joseph Prince. Where's Joseph Prince today? Where's Joseph Prince? A has-been. Nobody, other than where he's at, nobody over here really cares about Joseph Prince.
So you think
nobody,
Michael Todd is just another fad preacher?
He's just another fad, just like John Gray was another fad. You know, all these guys, you know, remember Perry Stone? Oh, Perry Stone, oh, he's wonderful. Perry Stone is here.
Mm-hmm.
Who calls on Perry Stone anymore? Nobody. They all have their, it's like a shooting star, you know? They all have their 15
yeah.
seconds of fame.
Right.
That's it. They have no staying power because the church is fickle. The apostate church is very fickle. You know, what have
right.
you done for me lately? You know, who's the next guy? You know, who? I told you the story before. When I lived in New York City and my mother used to take us to Madison Square Garden to see Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And every year
mm-hmm.
there was a new gimmick. They had, you know, and one year I kept annoying my mother. I want to go to the circus. They got the unicorn. All it was a goat with a fake horn on it. That's what
yeah,
it was.
I remember that.
It was a goat with a fake horn. Yeah, so, you know, it's a new, they have to, when you have a circus, it's got to be a new act, because nobody wants to go see the old acts.
Right.
You know,
and this is
that's
definitely
why,
Church du Soleil.
Right. That's why I think T.D. Jakes wanted to do One More Woman Thou Art Loose and cash it in and make one more, you know, try to squeeze the orange one more time and then move on
right.
to something else.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. And he just had the last one about a week ago. They just
Look
wrapped it up. So I guess
that's
Sarah
it.
Is going to do her Woman Evolve thing that we saw when we looked at Sarah.
Sure. And Sarah has, you know, Woman Evolved, the woman has three heads, right? I mean, it's you know, please. And poor Cora, you know, poor Cora over
mm-hmm.
there with that mess she's got.
Yes, indeed.
The child was adopted or stolen or who knows what, and it's a mess.
Yeah, and her
right?
husband has allegedly done some things too.
Mm-hmm.
One of their other adopted child, allegedly, so there's that, too.
Sure. So that's it. They were once the flavor and or the fad or, you know, the new thing in town, and people are tired.
Yeah.
People, you know, what's the next thing for us? What's the new thing?
Yep. Well, right now, Michael Todd is part of the new things.
Right.
Him and a bunch of other these other young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But the first audio is the audio we started on last week, where
mm-hmm.
in this audio, Michael has made some controversial remarks about Jesus. Now, I saw quick little clips of that, but I wanted to find the original sermon just to try to figure out, okay, what was he talking about? Because, you know, they're always where they took me out of context. So it's like, okay,
right.
let's see the context. And this is part him and two other guys did what we look like a tag team type thing where they each took
mm-hmm.
a turn preaching a section of this.
Right.
So Michael is the last up. And now it starts at the 33:53 mark, and we got to the 40-minute mark even last week.
Mm-hmm.
So however you want to adjust that, it's up to you.
Yeah, I always go back a few minutes, but Michael is too intolerable. So let's start him at the 40-minute because
okay.
he's just too nauseating. He's just too sweet. He's too, you know, he's too – so he's nauseating. So we'll start him at the 40.
Okay.
All right, here he is. And she finds him. There he is. And she probably had a superpower like my mama had. She could say a full sentence without even breaking her teeth. She said, Jesus. And he was like, Ma, what are you talking about? Hold on, y'all. Give me 1 second. Mary. She said, what did you call me? Hey, you got to realize that I was just in here doing my father's business, and I was out here. And watch what happens. We do not hear from Jesus for another 18 years. No, you missed it. We don't hear from him ever again until he's 30. Now, I want you to think, okay, it's funny, but think about it. I think that God allowed that to happen to slow Jesus' pace down. Wow, moron.
and I forgot to say the title of this whole sermon is called Scared But Prepared. And he was just finishing up his mangling of the incident when Jesus was 12 at the temple in Jerusalem, and he just completely
right.
misrepresented that story. But
mm-hmm.
you were saying, brother?
Yeah, to infer that Jesus didn't show up for 18 years because either his mother whipped his behind like my mother used to do to me, or that his
right.
mother put him on time out, is to make Jesus like us.
Yes.
And he's not. right?
Right.
So this is just silly. This is silly. This is just gibberish. Another preacher who just preaches gibberish. Utter nonsense.
It just makes up things out of his imagination. You know,
right.
Sort of like Dallas Jenkins and his made-up stories about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. And this preacher over there say, oh, that's good. I never heard that before. Of course not. Of course
right.
You never heard that before. Because there were some things he needed to develop in the dark room that could not be shown and seen in front of everybody. Now, I know a lot of people don't know anything about this, but before your cameras had smartphones and before you had pictures that had great pixels, there had these things called instant cameras that you would take a picture. There was 24 of them, and then you had to do this little click, 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 click thing. And then you would take another picture, and then I know a lot of y'all don't know anything about this, but you had to take the film out of the camera and drop it off with the professional. And you had to leave it there for some time. Because that film had to be, say this cuss word with me, processed. And until we embrace the process and allow God to develop our negatives in a dark room, we become overexposed, and the vision or the picture of what God wanted to be seen will never, ever be able to be seen. And that's why I'm encouraging you right now, no matter if you feel like you're behind or if you're too late, God says you're right in the pace of grace. I have a place for you. Well, I think he needs to go back into the developing room.
Right. That film is ruined because it was exposed too soon.
That's it. That's it. I mean, this guy is, I hate to repeat myself, but he's a moron.
Right. I can't find anything in his bios or write-ups to say that he had any education past high school. And I'm not saying that that's always a necessity, but it helps. And it's because we can get ourselves into trouble with some of the theology and different things. What do you say?
Well, again, he sat under a bishop, right?
Right.
And supposedly the bishop groomed him. And then supposedly the bishop heard from the Lord that it was his time to release the church to him.
Right.
So that just tells you the bishop doesn't know what he's doing. The Lord he claims to be hearing from is not the Lord. Because this young man, in the corporate world or anywhere else, he would be laughed at. This kind of buffoonery, you know, in the real, the thing in the real world is, and that's why I always differentiate between the church world and the real world. You take Paula White, for example. Let's take Paula White, or let's say Randy White, her husband. Where were those two going to make it in the real world? You tell me where. Where were they going to make it? Nowhere.
No, right.
See? Why? Because in the real world, you got to have what it takes. And Paul, and please, Paula, don't tell me, I'm the first woman ever to pray at the presidential inauguration. Please, don't. Don't tell me. Please don't throw that in my face. Okay? Again, they're useful idiots. In the real world, they wouldn't be able to cut it. They wouldn't work in the real world. They just wouldn't. So they succeed in the church where everyone is given 1,000 chances. Everyone. And that's, you know, that's where these guys are making it.
But
in the apostate
even
church
the Bible even says that as far a pastor should be able to teach, doesn't it?
Right, sure.
One
but
of the things he's supposed to be able to do well is to teach.
See, when you speak to an entire audience, I'm sure there's how many thousand people? This is a big conference, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say there's let's just be conservative, and let's just say there's 1,000. There's more than 1,000 people. Let's just be conservative. To say to all of them that you are at the right place in your life today, wait a minute. Christians are on all different levels.
Right.
I have a little tiny church. It's tiny. Let's say I have 30. Let's be nice to me and say he's got 30 people he's pastoring. I can't make that kind of statement he said on a Sunday morning and say
not,
all 30
of
them.
Not in a big group. Not in a
no.
big group.
No, because I know where everybody is. I've spoken to them. It's been 20, 30 years of abandonment, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're getting the ABCs
yeah.
all over again. So you, what are you saying? And then to use the camera analogy and the film, and it's gotta be taken to the lab and blah 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 blah. I mean, so
and then he had just left off the example of the Lord at the temple. And how he basically disappeared for 18 years, according to Michael.
Right, because he had to be stopped because he was going too fast, and
yes.
Mary had to put him in time out.
Right.
Right? This is
mm-hmm.
bizarre. That's just bizarre. All right, let's hear what else he's got to say.
That's not going to be rushed. That's not going to be something that'll be what everybody else does. But it's going to be the pace I've graced you for. So Jesus, for 18 years, is not seen by anybody, even though he probably could perform miracles, even though he probably could write a song that would be sung on the platform. Even though you probably could start a YouTube channel that the world would watch, God says, not yet. He says, because if you get out of my pace, anything you make up outside of me, you have to sustain outside of me. How does this practically work in my life? I know none of these guys. And the Holy Spirit told me when I took over Transformation Church four and a half years ago, he said, your days of networking are officially over. I said, what do you mean? He says, I don't want you to meet anybody or try to position anything in your life. He said, I'll bring everybody into your life when you need them, and I will make everybody exit your life when you need them.
Well, that's Satan. See? It just proves it. That's Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, if God is talking to me or to you, Sister AJ, or to any believer, and you are the center of attraction, you know that's not God.
Mm.
You just heard him say, and God said to me, I'll bring everybody in and I'll make sure everybody exits around you.
Right.
What? You? It's all about you? That's Satan, buddy. When church
mm-hmm.
is about you, it's Satan.
And
now
notice how he switched from quickly from talking about Jesus to making it about them and himself.
Oh, when they took over. Buddy, please. now.
And then he said something. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he said something interesting when he said that, is that it was after he got the church that God, I now put that in air quotes, told him that his days of networking are over. So is that how he got the church in the first place? Networking and positioning himself to get noticed by the right people and eventually McIntosh himself?
I have no clue what he's talking. I mean, you know, I'm new to this guy, but
mm-hmm.
I could tell you right now that was not the Lord talking to him. Because, when God appeared to Moses, he said, hey, Moses, I'm calling
mm-hmm.
you to go back to Egypt because I've heard the cries of my people. The Egyptians have them in bitter bondage. And I want you to bring out my people that they may worship me on this mountain. So,
right.
Again, it was never about Moses, giving Moses a purpose. I got a destiny. No,
right.
No, it's about
Moses
the people.
Moses was perfectly happy tending the sheep on the backside of the desert somewhere.
Sure. Absolutely. So let's see what else this guy has to say.
Ah, that sounds great. That's hard. It culminated in this moment where my friend Paul Daugherty, he has a church in Tulsa called Victory, and he invited Stephen Furtick to come preach at his church. And for me, when I was in my dark room, Pastor Steve and Judah and Chad and T.D. Jakes, I would listen to all of these people, and I was just trying to just have faith, to be patient, to persevere, and to find my pace. So I wanted to thank Pastor Stephen. I was like, yo, Paul, hey, bro, I know I'm nobody, but I'm coming to this conference, bro. Can you hook me up? He's like, bro, don't even worry about it. I'm going to sit you right in the front with Stephen. Don't even worry about it. I walked into the building, and as I walked in, the Holy Spirit said, don't you meet Stephen Furtick tonight. I rebuke you, Satan. Like, what? And I heard it again. This is not the night you're supposed to meet him. I walk into the building because it was about 5,000 people. And it was like, yeah, I don't got to meet Stephen Furtick. There's 5,000 people. They're probably going to sit me way away from him. Don't even worry about it. They sit me right behind him. And then Paul says, why don't you turn around and greet your neighbor? And this was the moment I got to decide. Would I obey God and follow the pace that he was setting in this situation? Or would I try to make a way for myself? And so I turned around and I met a woman named Susan. When I met Susan, all I was thinking was, yo, I just wanted to tell him. In my mind, it was just an innocent. I just thought it would be a cool. And God said, you don't see the future. But I do. I walked out. And the Holy Spirit said, thank you for obeying the pace that I set for you. 2 months later.
Wow. The Holy Spirit is thanking me? Wow.
Right.
Wow.
You're right. God, the
wow.
Holy Spirit is thanking Michael. Thank
wow.
you for listening to me.
Wow. And by the way, who is Stephen Furtick but a heretic?
That's right.
So,
just about everybody he named is a heretic.
Yeah, sure. The Jakes and everybody else and that he mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
they're all, you know. So,
two of the guys are sitting up there with him now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, this is about me. That's all this is about. This is
yep.
He wants to be in the higher echelons. He wants to be and the happening preachers, the new crop of happening preachers. That's all he wants. That's all he wants to identify with. And no one in that audience is going to be like these guys up here. Why? There is no room on the top of the pyramid.
Right. Only a few get there.
That's it. You're not getting on that. You're not getting up there. It's not happening. And see, think about this, Sister AJ. This is the big con about these conferences. When you go to these destiny and God is going to speak to you and God is going to, and guess what? They rip you off for the fee, the books, the offerings and all that. You leave broke.
Right?
And you until next year.
With all those books and tapes that you don't even read them or listen to them.
Right. Right. So it's a travesty. It's a travesty.
Mm-hmm.
These are three guys up there, you know. Look, and, you know, if I was, for example, if I was going to the Carol Burnett show, or let's say, what shows were taped live back in the 70s? What shows?
Johnny Carson, right?
So,
Flip
Wilson. Right. So I know that I'm getting the ticket. I'm going to go sit in the audience. And for 2 hours, they're going to tape this show live, right? That later on tonight, it's going to come on at 11 o'clock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that I'm never going to be Carson. I'm not, but I'm just going for the entertainment value.
Right.
Right? I'm just, you know, so, but in these churches, they lie to these people. They tell them. This guy's telling them, you're going to be here one day. You just have to be patient. It's just like when they say when you tithe, it's going to open up the windows of heaven. But the windows are never opened. Not for you. It's for them.
People are disillusioned because they think God lied to them. It's like, no, that band you were listening to lied to you.
Right. Right. So people get conned every week. Every week they get conned in these kinds of services.
Mm-hmm.
They get conned.
Yep.
Or in any service where you go and there's a motivational speaker, you're going to get conned. You're going to get conned.
like Tony Robbins having them walking over hot coals barefoot and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to get conned. All right, here's more from Michael Todd. And I got to tell you, he's tough to take.
I'm so sorry you got to suffer with me, brother.
this guy's got pride oozing out of every orifice. I mean, it's just oozing out.
It is.
Yeah.
I get a call while I'm studying from a young lady who works at Elevation Church. She was like, I thought we connected at the conference that we were in, but I just need to get your information because Pastor Stephen's trying to get in contact with you. I said, they must have some other Stevens at that church. Because I know it can't be Pastor Stephen Ferdinand. 5 minutes later, I get a minute and 41 second voice note that's still on my phone today. And it's Pastor Stephen. He said, hey, man, I don't know who you are. He said, but I was looking for my message that I taught on capacity, and yours was the next one because I had stole his message, and I had preached it at my church. Oh, y'all want to be real in the building, huh? See, you got to realize when you're scared how you're preparing. Sometimes you got to lean on other people and take things and put your own DNA on it. And
called plagiarism.
Exactly.
That's what it's called. It's called plagiarism.
Plagiarism is serious business. If you do that in an academic environment, you get kicked out.
Sure, absolutely. There was a woman. Her last name is Crowley. She's a blonde. What's her name? Her last name is Crowley. She's got boofy hair. She's always on Fox News. Well, Trump had tapped her for a cabinet position. But during the process, she took her name out of contention, or she was the only one he was going for at the time. But she removed her name from consideration because she had plagiarized a paper in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kicked her off that consideration.
That's right.
Plagiarism is a serious thing.
Right.
You see, and that's the difference between the real world, like I said before, and the church world. In the real world, you can't get away with this. In the church world, you can. See,
right.
That's the difference.
Sometimes they call you out on it, but it's no serious harm done unless it's money involved. Then they might.
I mean, but look what happened. Look what happened to Brian Kahn, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he plagiarized The Witch.
Right.
Right. I mean, that was a very rare case, and the only reason why he got torched was because it's not that he plagiarized T.D. Jakes.
He went to an occultist.
There you go. That's the reason why he got torched. Because she was a full-blown witch, a committed witch, an out-in-the-open
right.
witch.
And
but
it was no question that her information was out there first.
Right. But if you plagiarize Jakes, I mean, Sister Marie has brought this to my attention, that Rick Warren, he sells these sermons for $1. And one time she did a show where she gave examples of 4, 5, 6, 7 preachers who were
mm-hmm.
preaching the same thing on Sunday because they had bought Rick Warren's $1 sermon.
Yep.
See? So,
well,
I mean,
Kenneth Copeland used to teach Kenneth Hagin stuff when he first started out.
There you go. So in the church world, plagiarism is nothing. But and you can listen. You can admit plagiarism, and they all laugh. they all laugh.
Basically, he stole somebody else's material, but it's okay.
It's okay. It's okay because it's Furtick. See, it's Furtick.
Yeah.
It's Furtick. All right.
You heard the people scream when he mentioned Furtick's name.
Yeah, absolutely. They went crazy. Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't out here trying to impress nobody. I was just trying to make it through the Sunday with the 400 people at my church that God called me to lead. So I boosted his sermon. And gave him credit for it in the beginning of the message. I said, this message impacted me so much that I had to just give it to y'all. But who would have known that message I preached a year earlier, he would be on YouTube looking for that message. And the next one would be mine, and something in him stopped in his busy schedule and watched the entire thing.
Because you impressed him so much because you're so special.
Yes. He wanted to see who is this with my message. That's why he watched it. But maybe there was something about Michael that, you know, made him back down from whatever he was probably going to do.
Listen, what it is, this is what it is. The same way Michael reached out to that guy in Colorado
mm-hmm.
and now has got a worshiper, because now the guy in Colorado, believe it or not, they worship Michael Todd now.
Yes.
The same way now Michael Todd worships verdict.
Yeah.
See, it's the same disease, just on people on different levels. That's all it is. It's the, think about it. Furtick sitting on the lap of T.D. Jakes, what is that? Other than a mental, a mental disease. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. And you'll see this again and again and again in the church. I sit back and I watch people and I say, oh, my goodness, this one, they took out all his brain. This one's got a little bit of brain left. This, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, let's see how this ends.
And he said, I don't know who you are, man, but I just wanted to find you and tell you that you're called, that you're anointed, that God's hand is on your life. And he went on for a minute and 41 seconds. I was nobody to him, but I was somebody to God.
See, the same thing that Ferdig did to him, he did for the guy in Colorado. Same thing.
Right.
It's the same game.
Right.
Same game.
So he's saying God had him be a thief and steal Furtick's stuff just to hook him up?
Right.
God could have done that without all of that.
Absolutely. And he's still underdeveloped. He needs to go back into the developing room.
I think that film is ruined.
That film is ruined. That's it. It's ruined.
You can't get it back.
And until you believe that God's plans for your life is better than your plans for your life, you will do things outside of the pace of God. The only reason I stand on this stage today is because I followed the pace that God set for me. And there are things that he's still shown me that I know may be years away. But I've made a decision that the right thing at the wrong time is a curse. No. Some of y'all praying, oh, my God, I just want my husband. I just want him to be 6'6 and saved. I just want him to put it down, but then, like, praise God, too. And all I'm telling you is you might want to spend this time preparing who God's created you to be. Because the right thing at the wrong time is a curse. Well, Pastor Rich, if he would just see what's in me, he would make me one of the speaking pastors at VU Church. He's blinded him on purpose. Because there's things that if it was put on this platform, the character that's inside of you would actually come out, and God's giving you an opportunity to have a character that can be able to sustain what he's called you to. But without those three things, without being patient, without persevering when it gets hard, and without following the pace that God sets, you'll never fully be able to embrace your purpose. And this is one of the thoughts I want to end with, if it's okay. Jesus never reached his potential. Now, I know this has messed with a lot of people's theology. Because since I've been young, everybody's like, Mike, you need to reach your potential. Everything that God said and put inside of you, it needs to happen. But when I study the scriptures, he never reached his potential. When he died up on the cross, he said three words. He said, it is finished. What was finished? Not his potential. Because he had the potential to overthrow Caesar. He had the potential to be a Roman guard. He had the potential to do all kinds of stuff. The thing that was finished was his purpose. And if you do, if you don't follow the pace of God, if you don't have perseverance in hard times, if you don't get patient, you spend your life trying to fulfill your potential and you'll die never reaching your purpose. The only way we get well done, good and faithful servant, is not if we did everything we could do. It's if we did the thing that God called us to do. So today, at the afternoon session of food conference. I want to know if there's about 5,000 people that'll say, you know what, I might be scared of what's in front of me, but I'm not going to waste this time. I'm going to prepare. If you're in this room, I feel the presence of God in here. Because there's things that are going to awaken in you to allow you to know that you didn't miss your moment. Like I think that's that FOMO thing is real. Like the fear of missing out. And when you're in Christ, I really do believe that he works all things together. And so today, if there's been any area of your life where you have not been preparing, I just want to make it that broad. Like, if you know you've not been doing what you were supposed to do, I ain't going to call you up here and ask you, tell us all the books you didn't read. Like, I'm not going to do that to you. But if there's some areas of your life, I don't care if you're a senior pastor, if you're a CEO, I don't care if you're a classroom teacher, if you're an artist, I don't care where, but if you know there's some areas that you have not been preparing because there's been a seed of fear in you, like, I don't know if I can, or I don't know if anybody will support me, or I don't know how it's going to happen. But you're saying, you know what, Pastor Mike, Pastor Rich, Pastor Chad, I'm not going to wait for it to happen. I'm going to use this moment. Do y'all know there is no wasted wait? Your wait will never be wasted. If you're in this room and you need to make a fresh commitment to God to prepare in this season for whatever the next season holds, I want you to just lift your hand up in the air. I don't care who you are. There's people all over this building right now. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I feel the presence of God. I'm going to ask you in this moment right now, I want you to tell God, not me, not your neighbor, I want you to tell God and give him a fresh commitment of your life. And I'm going to ask the worship team to just lift it up for a second, because I feel like a lot of times in these conferences, we try to make it about this unified moment that we make happen. But a lot of times when we change is in the moment where we make a commitment to God for ourselves. And so we're going to ask them to worship just a little bit, but I don't want you to look at me. I don't want you, because I got to make my own fresh commitment today. Like, this ain't for y'all. This is for me. And I want you to tell God where you've been scared, but now where you're going to start preparing. Like, I want you out loud. Everybody say out loud. You just did it right there. I want you to say it out loud. Father, I've been afraid to actually ask for help because it would make me look deficient.
The sermon and the conclusion and the wrap-up makes absolutely no sense. You told the people that it was between them and God. Now you want them to say it out loud. What is it that you want them to say out loud? If they're in the ministry, you're in this every day.
This thing he's about to tell them to say, I guess like you used to say sometimes on your Wolf Tracker programs, how they play the games of Simon Says with people.
Look, if people need to come to a conference to be prepared, think about it. These are people in the ministry, right? You're supposed to already be prepared.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait a minute. You're going to prepare now? You're preparing now? I'm about to jump out of the plane and I'm looking for the parachute now? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
The biggest
controversy was when he made the statement that Jesus didn't reach his full potential. That's what folks that I saw that was upset, but that just asinine what he said, you know.
Sure.
He's God. What do you mean
Absolutely.
He didn't reach his potential?
But, you know, you hear the word of faith stuff all the time where, you know, or
yeah.
like Dallas Jenkins, you know, Jesus is finding his way through the Sermon on the Mount, and he's got Matthew there helping him out, and
right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
mm-hmm.
it's just this is I mean, this is just an ego fest. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. It was all about him, you know, all
mostly.
About him. Yeah.
And I didn't listen to the other guys, so I don't know what they talked about. But
mm-hmm.
if this is an example, I could about imagine.
Yeah. 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 So, no. But again, this is the new young preacher. And if they can talk, you know, if they can talk and razzle-dazzle the crowd by saying nothing, then, hey, people are happy.
Yeah, just titillate their emotions and scratch their itching ears. That's all he did.
That's all he did. That's all he did. And you're still in development, and you're going to go back to the development room.
Once that film is open, you can't get it back. It's gone.
That's it. When my wife says to me, you didn't catch the mouse yet or the squirrel, I'm going to say to her, I'm still in development. I have to go back. I'm scared to prepare. She's going to say, what's that? It's a sermon I heard, scared to prepare. Oh, my goodness. No wonder we're in trouble. No wonder we're in trouble.
Yeah. But if you think this is bad, the next couple of audios we'll listen to, the first one is a clip of a sermon series that he did called Accept the Upgrade or something like that, and it's his way of teaching about the Trinity. And
okay.
others who have seen this clip feel that he's teaching modalism. But I wanted to see what you think. But given how he just said Jesus didn't reach his potential, it doesn't bode well for how he's going to teach the Trinity. But
right.
The clip number two is a little under 9 minutes, and it's a TBN clip. And I wanted to show also with this one how he inserts himself into the scriptures and uses himself as a way to teach the Trinity. So I want to see what you think about this one.
Okay.
When the Holy Spirit shows up, God's there and Jesus is there. When Jesus was on the cross, God was there and the Holy Spirit was there. At creation, when God was sitting there about to create, let us. You can't separate him. He's everywhere, all the time. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. Remember, it's the mystery of God. The next version is Father. So my title is Father.
Yeah, that's modalism because, again, he has three things that he could be: pastor, father, husband. And,
right.
And he's just saying, this is me now, but these are my three different modes.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
I'm Isabella, MJ, and Ava Ray, and another little baby's father. How did I get four kids, y'all? I have to stop touching on personality. But it's four no more. It's over now. But I'm a father, and my function is provider. And in my status in that household is lead servant, and my location is to be present. Wherever my kids are, I need to be a present father. Let me show you this last version. I am a husband. And I'm a husband to one woman. And I need to be very clear about this because I've seen some of your DMs. Pastor Natalie is not the first lady. She's the only lady. So I need to be very clear and she got hands. So I just want to make sure that you're here for spiritual wisdom and not a problem. But I am a husband to one woman, and my function is her partner. And my status is lead servant. For all my men that are out there, can I give you a key real quick? That the status, wherever you are, men of God, you're supposed to be the lead servant there. So with your wife, you're supposed to be the lead servant. At your job, you're supposed to be a lead servant. That's a whole nother message for a whole nother day, but I'll teach about that a little bit later. And where my location is wherever Pastor Natalie is at. Let me help you. Mike the pastor's here. You've seen Mike the pastor. Here he is. He's the man. Gives you a word. But do you know what's with me everywhere that I go? It's Mike the father. Who at the moment that I'm giving you a word, if Natalie calls me and tells me that my daughter fell and has to go get staples in her head, which actually happened this week, Mike the pastor was there, but he gone now. Because family is my first ministry. God's not going to ask me what I did with Transformation Church while Natalie and my kids sitting over there all broke up. He's going to say, you were supposed to love her like I love the church. Then you come and love the church. Let me stop. This is not a marriage seminar, but I need to help y'all. So when Pastor Father shows up, my pastor's still there. So while we're at the emergency room getting staples in my head, the ladies take, not my head, in Bella's head, y'all pray for my daughter. That was so traumatic. But I'm sitting there. And while I was sitting there, the lady said, I love your sermons. Oh, wow. God bless you.
If you notice, he's an antichrist because instead of talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the lives of the people, he's talking about himself as God
there
the Father,
go.
God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the lives of his people.
Amen. And just for the visual for the people, while he's teaching, he's got this triple life-size photograph of himself and his family to demonstrate the different modes that he's talking about here. That's the other piece to it.
Right, right. So there's nothing about God in any of this but him. It's him. The church revolves around him so that his number one ministry is his family. So don't expect to see him now. Don't expect to see him.
Right.
Because anytime he gets a call, he's going to say, well, Bella's got this or Mama's got this or this one's mm-hmm. got that and y'all handle it among yourselves.
Right.
That's like when Creflo said, don't call me. Remember last week and the
yes,
Creflo, 2 weeks ago? He said, don't call me. Don't call me.
He sure did say that.
Right. So,
this
he's
is just Michael's slick way of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And where is God in any of this? Nowhere.
Nope.
Nowhere.
That's right.
Nowhere. And the people are screaming about him. See, it's about the guy. The whole sermon is about him.
That's right.
That's what Jim Jones used to do. Jim Jones used to say, do you need me to be God the Father? I'll be God the Father. You need me to be Jesus? You need me to be the Holy Spirit? I'll be the Holy. That's what Jim Jones used to tell the people. Then he was molesting them and raping them and doing whatever because, you know, he was it.
David Koresh was doing the same thing. He referred to himself as the Lamb. You remember the guy in Waco?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it is what it is. And my goodness. All right. Let's see what else he's got to say.
And then they said, we're going to have to put some staples in your daughter's head. How many staples? Because the pastor showed up, but the daddy had to be priority. So while my daughter's sitting there and I'm holding her and she's saying, Daddy, no, and Daddy, and I'm holding her face, I'm not thinking about what I'm speaking on Sunday. but I showed up with the pastor. And when my wife, when we get home that night, she's in the bed and she begins to cry because the baby's keeping her up. And she's feeling bad for Bella and MJ having insomnia. I do not bring. Well, you know what the word says in 1 Thessalonians. Some of y'all don't know when to bring out all of you. You just need to have crazy faith. I would. When my wife needed me, husband Michael held her all night. Husband Michael rubbed her feet. What I'm saying to you is, just like the Godhead, when one person of me shows up, the other two are there too.
Modalism.
Yes. And then he, you, like he said, he's presenting himself as the Godhead, like he said, with, when it relates to the Godhead, when one of me shows up, it's like, woo, wow.
Yep.
Mm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can't separate the father from the leader to the husband. So when I show up, you might get a different version, but you always get me. When the Holy Spirit shows up, God's there and Jesus is there. When Jesus was on the cross, God was there and the Holy Spirit was there. At creation, when God was sitting there about to create, let us.
The difference between you and God is that if you say, if you get up there, Michael Todd, and you say, let us, then
mm-hmm.
us is going to get you a straitjacket. because you are
there's
not
no
us. Exactly. Exactly. There is no us when it comes
but
to
I
you.
Don't know in this day and age of pronouns and just tearing up grammar and everything to call yourself whatever. Maybe you could get away with it now.
Yeah, but we know in this context what he's referring
right.
to.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, he's trying to explain the Trinity in himself.
That's right.
And no, dude, uh-uh, no.
Mm-mm.
You're an antichrist is what you are. You're an antichrist. And for those people to be cheering you and cheering you like you were their savior, no, sorry.
Right.
You can't separate him. He's everywhere, all the time. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. Remember, it's the mystery of God. And I just need to prove it to you because I just heard a couple of people in their spirits. You know how Jesus sometimes, like, I heard what they were thinking. Let me give you Bible on this. I'm going to show you through Scripture places where we see Jesus, the Father God, and the Holy Spirit all at the same verse. Look at John 14:16. And I, that's Jesus, highlight these in your Bible so that you can be able to be sure and assured that the Holy Spirit is God. It says, and I, Jesus, will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, three persons, not us.
Right.
He just destroyed his own argument.
Yeah. When he finally decided to go with Scripture, it doesn't support all this stuff he was just saying.
Mm-mm. No. No. It doesn't. So again, wrong Scripture.
and that you may abide with him forever. That's all three of them in one verse. Let me give you another one. John 14:26, but the helper, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, that's God, will send in my name, that's Jesus' name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said.
I'll give you a better one. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are you, three people? You're one person. And if you were three
That's
people,
right.
or if you went around claiming to be three people, we would have a straitjacket on you. That's just,
right.
you know. So all those scriptures that he's using are just debunking what he's saying.
That's
he's illiterate.
Right.
The man is just illiterate. Look, I'll give you a scripture. Let me just to show how stupid he is. Let's go to Revelation 16, if memory serves me correct.
Okay. All right.
Revelation 16. Now you're going to find three persons in one verse. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says in Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, which is Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, which is Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's not a trinity.
No.
They're all in one verse. Right? But those are three
That's
different
right.
entities. Those are three different entities.
Right. That's Satan's stab at trying to counterfeit the God's Trinity, but it's not an actual Trinity.
It's
he's
not
a
an
created,
actual Trinity.
He's a created being.
And the
so
beast is a created being.
So are
right.
these other two.
Right. So when this knucklehead says, you see, they're all in the same verse, it's just like, okay, let's say we had a verse that said Mo, Larry, and Curly. Does that make them a trinity?
No, it makes them a trio, but not a trinity.
Right. Exactly. You see, the guy is so stupid. He's so stupid. Now, there's a genuine trinity, which can only be applied to the Godhead. And
right.
then there's a wannabe trinity, like the one you have here. And then, like you said, you know, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, that's just the trio of his inner circle. That doesn't make Peter, James, and John a trinity.
That's right.
He's silly. This is silly. This is so silly. Well, it shows up in one verse. So what does that mean? So what? There's a lot of things that show up in one verse. Doesn't make it a trinity. Just like if you describe me as husband, father, pastor, I'm not a trinity. Just because
right.
I'm husband, pastor, father, that doesn't make me a trinity.
What? No, it doesn't even make you a trio. Those are just three areas that you function in. But that's
Correct.
Not the same as what the Godhead does.
Right. Just like a pastor is also an elder and is also a bishop. It doesn't make him a trinity. Mm-hmm. It's just
no.
the three different names that describe his office or her
right.
office. All right. Let's hear what he's got to say. Boy, this guy is dumb.
That's all of them in one verse. Let's go to another one. John 15, 26. It says, but the helper, that's the Holy Spirit, comes when he comes, whom I, Jesus, shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. And just for those who are a little skeptical and you're like, but they're not all at the same place at the same time, I'm glad you asked for that. Because when Jesus was baptized, he's getting baptized by John in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And it says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form. Talk about the mysteries of God. People say he descended like a dove. Yeah, or it was a dove. He wasn't a dove. It said he descended in bodily form. What does the Holy Spirit look like in a body? Like a dove upon him, Jesus. And the voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. That's the Father talking. In whom I am well pleased. God is always through.
Yeah, and that just proves the point that Jesus was not a three-headed figure.
Right.
Right? That
mm-hmm.
it just proves the point. I mean, when Jesus said, it's needful for me to go away, for if I don't go away, the Father won't send the Comforter. Right?
Yeah.
So, again, he's using Bible verses that don't prove any. I mean, the guy is just clueless.
They don't support his argument. It doesn't support
They don't support his
argument.
No, they don't. And again, referring to himself as a husband, a pastor, a daddy, is just modalism. Because this is me in three different modes or me in three different functions rather than God in three persons. God,
you could probably think of 10 or 15 things that you do, but you're not 15 people.
Right. Absolutely. I'm Elmer Fudd today. That's what I am. I'm Elmer Fudd.
You're rat hunter today.
That's it. That's it. So, I mean, this is so silly. And then to have these big, I mean, is he going to take that home with him? Because that was
a
lot of money.
Because it's a big cardboard poster of him and it in different functions. And then it's the other thing I found interesting, it is shaped like a pyramid, but, you know.
Yeah. And it, I mean, what is he going to do, put that in his living room?
Who knows? He might
put that in the church lobby.
So arrogant, this guy's so arrogant. I'm sure it's got. He's probably got it propped up somewhere.
And that thing was expensive to make. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That was not cheap. So he's blowing money. He's blowing money.
Twice life. It's at least twice life size. It's bigger than actual size.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got a few minutes on this thing left.
Three in one, and the Trinity defers to each other. The Son tells us that the Holy Spirit is coming, and we need to accept the upgrade, and the Holy Spirit guides you to the Son. You talk about the big three? Y'all thought it was Dwayne Wade? LeBron and Chris Bosh? Y'all thought the big three was Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and what's his name? And Rondo? Y'all thought the big three was what these teams? No. The original big three. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all equal, but we'll dunk on you in a second.
Friends, no matter what trouble you're facing today, God has already provided the wisdom, courage, and strength you need to stand. For your gift of support...
Shut up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I guess try to warn as many people about him as possible, but but he's very appealing, especially to the younger people.
Yeah, listen, you can warn people like I warn people about tithing. It's not going to change. They're going to run down there and just, you know, put the money up there. They're just going to do what they're, you know. They might even slap me on the way down and tell me to shut up.
Yeah, they might.
Yeah. And so, wow, this guy is arrogant. I mean, I thought the other video was arrogant, but this one here with that big life-size, wow.
And if you thought this, and mind you, this series is this is a series on the Trinity, and I think he said it's like nine weeks long, or it was. I think this has been a while ago he did this, but it's like 9 weeks or something that this thing that he did this. And the next audio is I wanted if you think it couldn't get any worse. With this teaching on the Trinity, it gets worse. But I'll show you where to start it because we're just going to listen to some portions of this.
Okay.
If you're ready, forward to 24:11, and we can start listening to this.
Thank you for sparing me 24 minutes. Okay, 24:11. Here we go. Here we are.
Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Write down my first point. The Holy Spirit is not just a power. He's not just a present. Presence, the Holy Spirit, watch this, is a person.
Watch this. He's a person. He's a...
What?
We've been saying that for years, for centuries.
Right. And the part about this that I want you to see is that he's going to do this demonstration to show the Trinity. And yeah.
Watch this. He's not a power and he's not a presence.
He's a person.
Listen, he's a person. Oh! What?
Like that's some great revelation.
We knew that. Oh, you're still under development. You're still in the dark room getting it developed. Okay. Here we go.
Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Write down my first point. The Holy Spirit is not just a power. He's not just a present. Presence, the Holy Spirit, watch this, is a person. Michael Todd is a person. Gary McIntosh, our founding pastor, who happens to be 70 today, can we give it up? For our founding pastor, I love you, man of God. 70 years old, we wouldn't be here without you. But the reason I can celebrate him is because he is a person. The person that you like and you've been crushing on, the only reason you like it and crushing them, you're not liking and crushing on trees. Well, maybe some of y'all are, and we have prayer for that later. But you're liking and crushing on them because they are a person. Why are you going so hard on this? It's because the Bible never refers to the Holy Spirit as an it. So why do we? It's not an it. He is a, everybody say person. Why is this important? Come close. Because you will never develop a personal relationship with somebody you don't see as a person. The Holy Spirit wants a personal relationship with you. So Jesus, talking to his disciples, acted like it was a guy named Gary. Gary's going to come to you and help you. And when Gary comes to help you, receive him, because when he comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. I really wish that the Holy Spirit had a different name, because if he had a different name, many of you would accept him. But when, for some reason, when it's Holy Spirit, we think it's mystical. He said, no, he's a person. And if you realize that he is a person, then you will develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Wow. This is Christian Romper Room. Wow, this is Christian Sesame Street. You know,
waiting to see Bert and Ernie pop up.
My goodness, this is so. He wants a personal relationship with you. Wow. We're at that level. We have to go over that.
Maybe he thinks that it's needed at his church, I guess. I don't know.
Wow. And the Holy Spirit doesn't need to be called Gary. And the Holy Spirit doesn't need a different name. That is his name. You can't change it. You can't alter it. And the Bible says that those who are born of God receive him and have no problems receiving him because they are born of God. Jesus says the world cannot receive him. Well, if you can't, if you have a hard time receiving him, you're not born again.
Right. You're
because
still
if
of
you
the
were,
world.
Exactly. Exactly. So I wish he had a different name. No, he doesn't have, no. What do you want his name to be? Michael Todd? Is that what you want the Holy Spirit's name to be?
Yeah, sounds like it.
And the problem that most people have is our teaching. We've just been taught wrong. The only reason I'm here is to teach you right and hopefully represent this thing. God is three persons.
Again, there's that word you mentioned, represent.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, yep. Yes, that word he keeps fleshing out.
Yep.
In one. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We say that, but we don't think about it like that. We don't live like that. See, even in our communication, it's like, man, I need God. I've been struggling through stuff, so I need God. You can get the person that's from somebody who's struggling with addiction all the way to the person in the penthouse, like, just want to give honor to God as I accept this award for making girls twerk on the floor. Like, at every award show, just want to thank God. See, people have an idea of who God is. So they thank God. But they don't understand when they say God, that's three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God who? Holy. I'm going to help you. Walk with me on this.
But who's he talking to, retarded people? Why is he helping me? Sister AJ, do you need help?
No.
I think he needs help. I don't need no help.
Maybe he's teaching himself.
Yeah. Because I sure don't need help. I don't suspect you need help. But evidently, he's talking to us like we need help.
Well, I guess that's how he talks to his church, apparently.
And let me help bust your bubble. God the Father is not more powerful than God the Holy Spirit. God the Son. You came from heaven to earth to show God I worship you at your cross, at your feet. He's not more powerful than the Holy Spirit. I know all of our children teaching talked about God. We think some of the people that are on earth, Noah, Moses, David, are more powerful than the Holy Spirit. you talk more about being a David to a Goliath.
Let me stop. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Why did he introduce David and Goliath? I thought we were talking about the Trinity.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And besides, the Holy Spirit was upon David because when he sinned against God with Bathsheba, he prayed and asked God not to take his spirit away from him.
Right. I don't get this, and it's just a lot of theatrics. It's just a lot of like, you don't know this.
Indeed.
Let me show it to you. You don't get it. Here, let me break it down for you. Stop with the theatrics and just teach. That's it. Stop with the drama. He
has to do that because he, as you can see, he has nothing else. So he has to showboat and be over the top with the theatrics and the skits and all that other stuff.
And his haircut is, I mean, wow. He better find the truck that hit him because, wow. I guess it's hit.
That's how they do it now.
Wow.
The young'uns.
Yeah. In my day, my grandmother would have pulled me over and used the
started
Afro
combing
comb.
It.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You have a better view of Abraham than you do of the person of the Holy Spirit. You've just been taught wrong.
No, the reason why we have a better view of Abraham or of David is because we're simple creatures. I'm
mm-hmm.
a creature. I understand my fellow man. Sister AJ understands her fellow man. No one can really wrap their heads around God.
Right, exactly.
We see
through that mirror darkly. We're not going to understand all of those types of mysteries right now.
No.
We believe it by faith.
Right. Of course I'm going to understand Abraham because I am just like Abraham. I'm a man like Abraham. I got two arms like Abraham. I have two eyes like Abraham. I have a soul. I have ups and downs in my life and in my walk with God. Of course I'm going to understand Abraham better than I can understand Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, come on. I mean, the creature cannot fully comprehend the Creator. You just can't. And even when we go to heaven and we are fully redeemed and we are in His presence, no one is going to know God fully.
Right.
It's just not happening. It's just not. So, again, this guy is making, he's making a mess of this.
Yes, he is.
A mess.
It's one God. Everybody say one God. Say it like you mean it. One God. Three expressions. Okay, let me.
Wrong. That's modalism.
Exactly.
One God manifested in three persons, not three expressions. Three persons.
Mm-hmm.
An expression is dad, husband, pastor. Those are three expressions. He's three
That's
persons.
Right.
So, again, here's a guy purporting to want to teach you and me because we're confused, Sister A. We're confused.
And we've been taught wrong, so that's why we don't understand these things.
Right.
But Michael's going to clear it up for us.
He's going to clear it up. Yeah, he's going to explain. I'm going to listen to a guy that got a haircut from a lawnmower. I'm going to listen to him. Please.
What is this? It's water. That's what we say, but if you want to be very scientific, this is H2O. Okay? This is H2O. I'm thirsty. I got a straw. that's good. Let me ask you a different question. What? Hold on real quick. We established this is what? It's H2O. What is this? You say I? If we go down to its basic form, this is H2O. Now, it is in a different form than the liquid version, but this still is. Uh-huh. This is a...
But again, he's a moron because he has three different jars.
Yes.
So
that's right.
It's not three expressions, but three tangible jars.
Right. And a lot of people use this example, though, although he's got the third one is going to be interesting. So.
Okay, let's listen to this one.
Different expression. So when your drink is too warm, you don't put more water in it. It's H2O, but you put a different expression of H2O into your drink. And we call it ice. What is this? This is H2O too. It's dry ice. And it's a different expression. So if that was God the Father, God the Son, this is God the Holy Spirit. Still H2O. But it takes on a completely different form. Oh, and this is what God is about to do in your life.
Again, notice the guy's a moron because, again,
dry ice is carbon dioxide, not hydrogen and oxygen like water and ice are.
And
something completely different.
Something completely different, which he's not being honest with the people, and
that's
he's adding
right.
water to get that effect.
Right,
because,
and that's why he chose it dry ice rather than maybe just having a pot of boiling water because
mm-hmm.
he wanted that dramatic effect, and dry ice is cool looking when you put water on it.
Right. So, again, here's this guy with three different jars. And, of course, Mr. Michael Todd is not three different entities. There's not three of him walking around. There's only one.
No.
Right? He's one
right.
person. One person. And that's it. So this is nonsense. But, of course, the people are – listen, this is a circus act, as you can see. This is this. The, all this is, like you said, it, whether the circus features dancing bears or a magician, or you know someone walking, it's still a magic trick. It's still entertainment. That's what he's doing.
Right.
That's all this is.
Like, you're about to see evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Still God. Still God. Still God, still God, still God, still God, God the Father, God the Son, and God help me, the Holy.
Why is he mad?
I think he's excited, or maybe all that smoke is getting to him or something. You know, I wonder if he's going to get in trouble for increasing his carbon footprint by using that dry ice.
Wow. Wow, theatrics. I mean, theatrics.
Yeah. But even if he'd used the pot of water with the steam, it would still be raw. It would still modalism. It would still be not a good analogy, but I've heard a lot of people use that before, though, to try to describe the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's just like us, right? We're tripart, soul, body, and spirit, but that doesn't make you a Trinity. It doesn't make me a Trinity.
No.
We're
no,
tripart. Tripart.
Right.
is different
and,
from three persons.
And even with the ice and the liquid and the gas, they're not a trinity like you said, and plus they're not able to be water. H2O has to be ice or liquid or steam, but it's not, it can never be all three at once.
Yeah. And, of course, all those three things can be manipulated, right?
Based on their environment.
Right. I can turn the faucet on, put water in the pot, I can leave it out, or I can choose to put it in the freezer, or I can choose to put it on the stove.
Right.
You can't manipulate God. You can't control God. So, again, all of these analogies don't make any sense. And that's why any human attempt to try to explain it other than the way it's explained in Scripture, one God, three persons. That's it. Don't try to go beyond that. Don't try to be clever. Don't try to explain.
We get into trouble.
Right.
We get into trouble and heresy.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hear what I'm saying. The power resides in all three of them. And if you want to sum up your Christian life, and God the Father, the big man upstairs, and what Jesus did at the cross, which was powerful, then you will lead out the most influential part of affecting your life today.
Wrong. Because God the Father is supposed to affect me today. God the Son is supposed to affect me today. And God the Holy Spirit. At no time does any one of them go on vacation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
At no time. So he's saying, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're missing the most influential. No. No. Because, again, that's part of modalism. Modalism says God the Father's not here, God the Son, but the Holy Spirit is.
That's right.
And no, you absolutely not. No. Because Jesus said, in this manner pray you, say, our Father who are in heaven. So you're having a conversation with the Father. But according to this clown, no. The most influential is the Holy Spirit. No, all three are. All three are one. For example, Paul says, and when he opens, let me read to you a scripture First Corinthians. Oh my goodness, we're out of time? I didn't even realize that. Okay, First Corinthians 1. Look at Paul's opening salutation. He says this. He says in verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So wait a minute. He told us you were leaving out the Holy Spirit. But notice, grace and peace come from whom? Present
God.
Today. Where does grace and peace? From God the Father and
God
the Lord
Father.
Jesus Christ. You cannot ignore the two. And I just want to be with the, because modalism says you only got to focus on the one that's here, which is the Holy Spirit. No. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We stopped it at the 30-minute mark.
Okay, got
just
it.
So that we can come back to this next week. We're so out of time. Oh, my goodness, we're so out of time. This is so good. All righty. We got 10 seconds. You have the last word.
Well, you just gave the last word. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.